This show is powered by BL3P, the Lightning-enabled European Bitcoin exchange.
Connect the build.
Ethan Rose, pouch.ph, Philippines.
A purse of, or pouch, also referred to as a purse for clarity, is a small money bag or pouch made for carrying coins. In most Commonwealth countries, it is known simply as a purse, while purse in the United States usually refers to a handbag. Do you know that the oldest known purse was found by Ötzi the Iceman, who lived around 3300 BC?
Well, I didn't know.
I used to think Bitcoin is a fad.
Yes.
Washington farms the most oysters in the US, so getting this famous food in Seattle is a must. Do you like to eat oysters?
Oh, no.
Pouch will be registered as an OPS, Operator of Payment Systems, in the Philippines by the end of 2023.
Yes.
The Lightning Network is way more fascinating than self-driving vehicles.
Yes.
The Philippines is situated at the western fringes of the Pacific Ring of Fire. The Philippines experiences frequent seismic and volcanic activity. Do you know that, and luckily though most are too weak to be felt, around 5 earthquakes are requested daily?
Yes.
Will Pouch be released in the US sooner than Strike in the EU?
Probably yes.
Seattle is a seaport city on the west coast of the United States. It is the seat of King County, Washington. It is the largest city in both the state of Washington and the Pacific Northwest region of North America. Seattle is known as the Emerald City, but do you know its original nickname was Queen City?
No.
Buko juice is a popular refreshing drink from the Philippines. Buko is a Filipino word that means young coconut. Hence, Buko juice is also known as coconut milk drink. There are two ways to prepare Buko juice. One way is to use fresh juice from the coconut fruit, and another way is to use canned Buko juice concentrate. Do you prefer the fresh version over the canned one?
Yes, absolutely.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
No. In a way, yes.
Welcome to the Connect the World weekly podcast. I'm Edward.
And I'm Steph. We are ready to take you with us into the beautiful world of the Lightning Network.
Enjoy the ride. This is episode 54 of Connect the World. Steph, all the festivities, how are you doing?
Oh, I was on mute. Hey, my friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the festivities. Yeah, well,
Today is a special day for the all children in the Netherlands.
Yeah, that's correct.
Because
that's
we're recording on which day?
It's Sinterklaas.
Sinterklaasavond.
But to be honest, I'm more of like a Christmas guy.
Meet a lot of people in the Netherlands that are more Christmas guys and girls. I think it changed in my childhood. Sinterklaas was everywhere.
Yeah?
I still do more on Sinterklaas than on Christmas.
Oh, really? No. In my family, it's Christmas all over. And my mother was so afraid of Sinterklaas and his and his Pieten that she decided to teach us that he doesn't exist whenever I was a small child. So I never believed in it. So that's maybe why I have more with Christmas than I have with Sinterklaas.
We also do it differently than I was taught, because we also let her know that it's not real.
But
she wants to believe it.
Oh yeah, because she thinks she doesn't get presents if she doesn't believe in, right?
Well, believing in the magic is nice.
Yeah, but when did you tell her then?
Yeah,
also I think when she was.
We always we leave it in the middle, so we never told her that it was real.
Okay.
We And we say it's the magic of the festivities that we believe in, and you can choose for yourself.
But you know what I find very strange? That we teach our children always to be polite and never lie. And we tell them the biggest lie of their lives, their whole life. Until they become like 8 or 10 maybe. So that's what I hate the most. So, indeed. I told my wife, if it is for me, I'm already telling my son that it's just a fairy tale.
Of course.
And why? Because Christmas is also a fairy tale, right? So why? And everyone likes Christmas and everyone likes Santa Claus. I mean, why?
And everybody likes the movies where it is not real.
Yeah, but why do we need to tell the kids then so a big lie? I mean, they can also enjoy Santa Claus when they know it's a fairy tale, right?
The only thing. She tells other children nothing.
So she said,
I didn't tell that.
I was young, and I mean, as I already told, my mother, she told me when I was able to talk that it's a big lie. But I always kept it secret for the other children within my class because you can also explain that to him. But my wife hates it, to be honest. She hates it because I brought him to bed. Where was it? It was Saturday evening, and he was looking at me, and he said to me out of the sudden, he said to me, Santa Claus is nep. So Santa Claus is fake. He told me, and I laughed, and I said, yeah, he's fake, but he's still a nice guy, right? And so I was like, oh shit, man. So I'm happy that my wife wasn't in the same room at that time. But he enjoys it, and he doesn't understand what is fake and what is real for now. No. So it will be a bigger thing when he is getting older. So I
always make jokes about everything, so she understands that sometimes I say something that's just a joke or something funny.
But I mean, the whole festivity around it is nice, and we bought each other some presents, and the thing. Oh,
indeed,
man, I'm
nice.
Eating a lot of shit, man.
I have chocolate letters here, and
our Christmas still yet to come. So January will be even more sportive than it already is now for me. So
of course,
for losing all the weight that we gain now in December,
all the butter that you're eating.
Yeah.
Well, last week we also had festivities, right? Because we exist 1 year, so it was fun to do that special intro.
Yeah. But we didn't bake any cake or something, right?
No.
But we can actually, because tomorrow evening we have the when this episode will be aired.
That's right.
By the way, it's a bit of not good timing for us to release an episode where everyone is attending our
everybody
from
in the Netherlands
radio, in the
goes to the theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Tivoli, Utrecht, and there, it's gonna be a great meetup.
And we tested the Lightning beer tap last Friday, and it's working. It works completely fine. And Bart and Stijn, they added a really nice screen to it, so you can actually
screen
with a nice visualization. So we can use it tomorrow. So that's nice.
We will make some videos there then.
Yeah, let's do it.
Using it, of course. Yeah. No, it's fun that it's a do-it-yourself thing, and we're all gonna try it.
Yeah.
So the lightning beer tap.
Yeah, sure.
Great
and who do we welcome today in the show, Edward?
This week we welcome Ethan Rhodes, and he is the CEO and founder of Pouch.ph. It's a PHP Lightning wallet made in the Philippines.
Yeah, that's
so
perfect.
Curious about that.
Yeah, I'm also very curious. Nice. It's like Bitcoin Beach, Bitcoin Ekas, kind of similar. So
a lot of merchants. Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Okay, but first, let's talk a little bit about statistics, Edward, and about our Rings of Fire community, and then the second part will be with Ethan.
Verbinden die Welt.
So, we added 80 million sets this week. We have 49.33 Bitcoin pushed into the Lightning Network. Last week, it was 49.15. With around 1,571 members participating in over 211 rings.
And we are now at block height 765,974. And the Lightning Network statistics are brought to you by Ambles.space. And when we look at it, there are 16,845 Lightning nodes with more than 5,169 Bitcoin inside the network. And did you look at the Ambles.space website?
Sure.
They changed the logo with the Christmas
very nice. Yeah, very nice.
It's Santa Claus.
Perfect.
Super funny.
Super fun. Hey, today's value of 1 million Satoshis is $173, 164 euros, and one Chinese one is here at what? This is not correct.
Oh, sorry.
I think it's like 1,300 or something.
I have it here. Oh, that's my bad. 1,203.
1,203. Chinese one.
Sorry,
no
man.
No problem, mate.
We'll put it in.
Connect the word.
And then some highlighted news updates from last week brought to you by the Daily Moon. So firstly, and then we didn't mention it last week, but we didn't went to, go to adopting Bitcoin, but El Profesor went there.
Yeah.
He's the founder of the Latinodos Lightning community. And we released a lot of videos, thanks to him, where he asked questions, the We Asked videos that we also did on Bitcoin Amsterdam, and he done it in at Adopting Bitcoin El Salvador.
Yeah, it's looking great, man. I really love that the big microphone.
Love the intro.
Yeah, it's perfect.
he actually brought it there. Yeah, it's so
perfect,
funny.
Perfect. And he spoke to a lot of previous guests of us, but also a couple of people that we didn't talk to. So very interesting.
No, that's right.
To check them out.
Yeah, it's great to hear what they have to say. It's not very long. It's short. Goes straight to the point, and it's fun to watch. And this week it's time for the African Bitcoin Conference, the first ever Bitcoin conference in Africa. Will be held this time. Well, now in Ghana, and I'm going to pronounce it right, I hope. But Lynn Sumba is our on-site reporter from Connect the World and recording, and there also the We Ask videos. So if you want to stay up to date, just check our YouTube and Twitter. We will post something there real soon. And Satsbek launched in Turkey with more than 200 stores. And especially interesting because the Turkish currency, the lira, is at a very low value at the moment. They have double digits inflation a long time already. It's getting worse. So I hope this will help. And Anna Jarmus from Satsbek wrote a blog post of this launch.
So there's a big chance that when you purchase something using Satsbek, the value of your Satsbek is the same as the whole purchase within a week or something, right? No, just kidding. But I mean, when you shop online in Turkey, you can better have cashback in the most precious currency of the world, Bitcoin, instead of your own lira. So people go use it if you live there.
Yeah, I hope a lot of people are going to use it. Yeah. And then a group of cypherpunks with a strong focus on user privacy and security are researching and building the future of the Lightning Network, and released an open source Lightning privacy research platform. It's sponsored by Wasabi Wallet and Dan Gershny from Blockcore and ZK Schnecks. And I've added the link to the platform on in the show notes. And then Nicholas Gregory and Tom Trevathan from Commerce Block posted a draft together with Bitcoin sorcerer Ruben Sampson, in which they explain how Lightning channels can be constructed without reliance upon on-chain transactions. So only using the state chain approach as implemented in Mercury Wallet. And this protocol will not require any changes to the Lightning Network protocol, so that's easy. And would need only simple enhancements to the Mercury Wallet state chain API. So if people didn't know, Commerce Block is the one that made Mercury Wallet. So I've added also the links and you can check it yourself. And then I've added one update, which I think is worth mentioning. Blockstream announced Core Lightning version 22.11. and it's called Alameda Yield Generator. And it comes with a Reckless, and it's a new manager to easy install plugins. And they added also an update for auto clean to optimize node performance and speed. For all updates, please check the show notes. And interesting for those who are checking the numbers from the version of Core Lightning, a time-based release leads to poor semantic versioning scheme. So they decided to switch to a date-based scheme while, of course, maintaining backwards compatibility.
Perfect. Do you want to read more and stay up to date about everything related to Lightning, the news and updates? Then head over to tdm.news and follow the Daily Moon on Twitter or Telegram.
Conecta el mundo.
We balanced one ring last week, the 10 million Satoshi's 13th ring. Well, a nice liquidity ring. Luckily, we had a very experienced ring leader from Switz, Murachal, because this one was tough. Gossip seemed to be an issue, but normally after 24 hours, this solves. But in this ring, it took like 2 days or so. So it was, a bit of a pity. But we never give up. And also, this ring is balanced after all. Nice. So, well, nice week. Only one ring, but more to come.
Hey. And we have a new master of ceremony, right?
Yeah, it's Ramon de Vries. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And I saw he is busy in the 3 million ring.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. So he is nice. He is pretty busy in doing his stuff over there. So and I'm awesome. I'm working together with him. So really
great.
Yeah, really great to add someone who's going to help with organizing all the Rings of Fire. Yeah. And he's a really experienced node operator. So, awesome. Really looking forward to work with him.
Yeah, great. So thanks, Ramon, for helping out.
Yes.
And that was it.
Glad to have you on the team. Yeah, we have to announce a winner of the prize at What From Last Week.
You didn't talk. I wanted to do that at first.
You didn't talk about it. But
okay, I have my finger on the happy tune, come on.
Well, last week, we had a prize to give away, a Connect the World goodie bag, as we want to call them, some nice shirts in it, maybe some stickers or something. And the winner of that prize is Maniaco 0706.
Okay, great name.
Yeah, great name. So please reach out to us on, it can be Twitter. It's better to do it at Twitter. And then we can send the goods to you.
Awesome. Yeah. Great.
Perfect.
Well,
thanks.
Congrats. And let's go to the Lightning.
Let's do it.
Make sure to secure your home network. So change default passwords and use two-factor authentication where possible. And keep your software up to date. It's also very important. Please keep in mind that the whole Lightning network is very experimental. Software like Minode, Umbrel, Raspberry Blitz, for example, and many others, and LND also, are still in beta phase. Don't blindly run terminal commands on your node if you don't understand them yourself, and especially when prefixed with sudo. And the last one is also very important. Don't use Satoshis that you're not willing to lose. So if you're not aware of all security considerations, then read into it. Educate yourself, read articles, ask for help in Telegram groups with high reputation like ours, and listen to podcasts and learn by doing. Otherwise, don't participate.
Also, you can stay informed by following us on Twitter. You can find us at Satoshi Radio ROF. And follow our Lightning leader, Johnny Kiyashu. Join our Telegram groups, Satoshi Radio, Ring of Fire, and Connect the World. And check our website, satoshi.radio. It would be nice for you to be part of our Emboss community. You can find us there on Satoshi Radio. And like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Use Podcasting 2.0 to listen to Connect the World. And you can check SATA trading for the current value. You can find all this information, of course, also in the show notes as well.
All right, let's get on to the show.
Connect o mundo.
Welcome, Ethan.
Ethan. Good to have you.
Good to have you on the show. In a way, Satoshi.
In a way, he is Satoshi Nakamoto. All right.
In a way, we all are, right? That's hard. Connect, hard to keep it to a yes or a no, man.
I totally understand. Yeah, we had a lot of guests.
But we warned you, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But now we can talk about it. So,
But explain to us. I used to think Bitcoin is a fad.
Yeah, actually, until pretty much the COVID lockdowns, where governments shut down economies and tried to replace it with money printing, right?
Yeah.
Replace that economic output with fake money. I used to think, like, pretty much dismissed Bitcoin, like, it's just like a Ponzi scheme, pretty much the same as
everyone else,
everything else, right? Before I realized there's actually a philosophical reason behind Bitcoin, and it's not just to get rich, right? Which is most other coins' purpose.
But you are not that long in the space then, if it was just around COVID. And you're now building upon the Lightning Network. I mean,
so that's huge,
like a
change.
Niche. Yeah, it's a niche.
Yeah.
And before that, you were, I saw you were developing or working at a company who developed self-driving vehicles. What are the differences between those words? Because they are very innovative, both are. What are the most differences you can think of, and what are the similarities?
Yeah, so the differences are pretty much every way very different, but completely different industries. Similarities is one, I guess, like you could say, self-driving vehicles is highly regulated, and fintech is also highly regulated. but that is like my work in the industry. There is like nothing related to regulation. I was a software engineer. So the similarities product wise, I worked at a startup called Mighty AI in Seattle, and we had this tasking platform. We would use human power, like micro tasking, to create these data sets for training the self-driving vehicles. So one similarity to what I'm doing now is most of these micro taskers are from the Philippines. And I hear time and time again that the Philippines has the best quality, which is great to hear, right? So even other similar tasking platforms, Philippines is like by far the preferred place to get that high quality data set created out of. Paying the micro taskers was done through PayPal, and PayPal sucks in every way, and the Lightning Network fixes that.
But you didn't know about the Lightning Network when you were working there, right? So
correct. Nope. We had like our PayPal account was turned off one time because we were just like sending money, right? So blasting payments to tens of thousands of people around the world.
Yeah.
And
so you're above the threshold, right? Of course.
Yeah. So a lot of risk to using PayPal just as a company, like they'll turn you off at a moment's notice. And also like the cost is really high. And on the receiving side, so this is probably the worst part. So to this day, like many tasking platforms use PayPal to pay taskers in the Philippines, and there's no good way to get PayPal money out into the Philippine local economy. So you end up having to buy like gift cards or pay exorbitant fees just to use the money that you've earned.
Yeah. So the off ramp is hugely difficult then.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I also saw that you guys at Pouch helped a company solving this issue, a company who has 150 employees or workers, or I saw it on Twitter, and you help them to integrate the Lightning Network to get rid of all those problems they're facing or they faced with, I don't know if they used PayPal before.
Right, so the 150 number that you saw was probably the number of merchants on Bitcoin Island accepting Bitcoin payments. Which is up to 300 now. We've hit 300 merchants, and now we need our focus to getting more consumers, because we have like some tourists coming to pay with Bitcoin, and some folks have actually relocated on the island paying with Bitcoin, but like it's getting kind of spread out now, and we want to make sure our merchants don't forget how to accept Bitcoin payments, like the big problem in I think any Bitcoin community. Now it's like
I was talking about I see it now here. It was for Flipside AI.
Oh yeah. Okay, so Flipside. Flipside has a couple thousand taskers within the Philippines. Flipside is a company based in the Philippines, which basically does labeling work, like this kind of tasking labeling work for international companies. But Flipside is actually based in the Philippines. So we're doing like deposits, accepting deposits. And we have a batch payment feature where they can like blast out payments to all of their taskers within the Philippines. And then there's, so this is actually like within the Philippine peso ecosystem, basically, like never touches Bitcoin or Lightning. But we're doing, so there's another tasking company called Stackwork, which pays in sats. So thousands of taskers getting paid in sats, and the Filipino taskers have basically onboarded themselves to Pouch to receive their sats payments because it's the easiest way to get money back into the local economy.
What do they do with the sats that they receive? Are they keeping it in sats and then buying from the merchants on Bitcoin Island, or do they also convert it?
Yeah, most of the taskers don't live in Bitcoin Island since it's a very touristy destination, Bitcoin Island is like, you can say like 95% of the people there are like there for a resort, right? exactly. So, but unfortunately, we had to turn off the Bitcoin feature in our app altogether. Kind of a good thing and bad thing, because good on the positive side, we don't do Bitcoin custody anymore, and totally into that, like encouraging people to self-custody their Bitcoin. So we only do Philippine peso custody, so we auto-convert. Anytime money comes in or goes out, we do an auto-conversion to Bitcoin, and we're acting in the capacity of a payment processor. Everybody converts to pesos. Kind of unfortunately. If they want sats, they'll have to withdraw to a different wallet or send it back out to their own wallet as sats.
Okay. And what was your first experience then with the Lightning Network? Because you entered the space just before COVID then. And then, well, I mean, it takes some time to become a real Bitcoiner. In my experience, it was.
Yeah.
And then normally a couple of years later, then you find the technology behind the Lightning Network and, well, really, if you really...
The community.
Finding the community. Yeah. And but what was your first experience with the Lightning Network?
Yeah, so like going back a little bit to just my experience with Bitcoin, it took me a while. Like you said, it took a while to get it because first off, what clicked was government money printing, right? And how do I like protect my savings from inevitable inflation? Very easy to predict that inflation was going to run hot with like the way the COVID lockdown started. And I almost bought gold. It took me a while, like just listening to podcasters, reading books, and almost getting like gold tilled, whatever you call it, by Peter Schiff. And then it clicked eventually, like Saif Adan Amusa's book, The Bitcoin Standard, turned me into a Bitcoiner. So it took me a while. Glad I didn't buy gold and bought Bitcoin instead at that point. Cool, and then the Lightning Network, my first experience was with Strike in the US, and realizing that this is such a efficient way to get money to the Philippines if there was an app on the Philippine side. My wife is Filipina. I send money to the Philippines all the time. So this was like an actual utility of the Lightning Network that I saw desperately needed to be solved. So that was my first experience like playing around with the Lightning Network. And then from there, as a developer, I found it very intriguing, like playing around with moving money programmatically without having to have permission from like Visa or a central bank, whatever, in order to do it.
But in your case, then it's really a way of using the Lightning Network as it should, because we, Edward and I, we are just playing with it. We are some of our community members, our podfather Bartmoor, he built his own Lightning Bear Tap a couple of weeks ago, and for us it's just play.
It's a fun side.
It's a fun side, money to play with. But for you, it can really make a difference then when you talk about those remittances and sending back. It's saving you the big fees that Western Union or whatever a service you use you normally use. It saves that part, right? So it already makes a big difference for you, but even more for the people you're sending that money to.
Yeah, it's clearly the most efficient payment network in the world. It has massive utility, And so, yeah, most people, like, it's a hobby right now, right? But yeah. For us in the Philippines now, we're demonstrating that actually the Lightning Network has incredible utility. It's more than just like a hobby, more than just a way to avoid government regulation. Like, we're trying to basically show even the government, the regulators, that this is incredibly useful. And even regulators should be on board with the Lightning Network and not scared of it.
Yeah. We share the same vision. But great, nice man. Yeah, we prepared a lot of questions for you about Pouch, but also your vision on the Lightning Network. But it has to be in the 21 minutes, Ethan. So if you are ready, and Edward, my friend, you're also ready, then we would really like to enter that part. Are you guys ready?
Ready. Yes.
Let's do it.
Conectează lumea.
Well, let's start with Pouch. And you talked a lot just now about why you started it. When you founded Pouch, you left your software engineering job in the USA to improve the experience of sending money back home to the Philippines. That's what you just said. What was it that actually drove you to develop something from this magnitude, something from yourself, instead of your old engineering job? Because there you were also building something. So why this?
Yeah, right. I had a very like comfortable job and like easy, earned a lot of money. Like, why would I possibly leave that? Right. I started actually as even kind of a hobby in a way. Like, I was just hacking together a Lightning wallet and seeing if I could like connect it to the local Philippine rails. As a side project, like moonlighting more or less at my current job or previous job now, right? So it was just like an interesting project. We had a relative who, a friend. A close friend whose son needed medical care, and she asked if we could send a remittance so she could like bring her son to the doctor. And so I tried to send a remittance and didn't realize until several days later that the remittance got held up, got blocked by KYC review, needed additional documentation and all. And her son actually went without medical treatment and he passed away. And it would have made the difference,
that's a horrible
most
story.
Likely, if he was able to get treatment. So that was my kick in the pants. I was very emotional. Even I didn't know Darren, the 7-year-old boy, very well, but it was still like very motivating to me. Like, nobody should have to face this. And that was really my kick in the pants to leave my job.
So you wanted to help, but the regulations made it impossible.
You're on a time preference. It's so important to do it as quickly as possible, of course.
I never realized before. I thought like KYC, if it holds up a transaction, that's kind of annoying, right? It's just an annoyance. Mm. But then now I realize firsthand that it can be the difference between life and death. And so there should never be government or regulation getting in the way of you being able to make the difference in saving someone's life.
That's a big push from your old job. I totally understand that something like that can give you the help you need to do things differently. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Great. Well, not a great story, but a very.
It's sad.
Sad story, but the outcome. Yeah, I hope the outcome is net positive for you. Then that you get the right drive to keep on developing things like this, right?
To help others. Yeah.
It's very motivating, to say the least. And hopefully it becomes a positive. Like, we can save lives by. Removing the barriers to sending money overseas.
Yeah. Talking about something completely different, Boracay is a resort island at the Philippines. Well, not completely different, but it's a more on another subject. It's a resort island of the Philippines and one of the most popular tourist destinations in Southeast Asia. And now we can call it Bitcoin Island. Pouch had sponsored Bitcoin education on the island to prove the utility of the Lightning Network for cross-border payments. why are cross-border payments, well, you made a great example now, just now, but why are cross-border payments so important for people living in the Philippines?
Yeah, so to speak to like Boracay specifically now, other than because we were just talking about like the remittance use case, mm-hmm. like sending money to family overseas, but the utility, like even for in-person payments, if I'm going on vacation to Boracay as a tourist, historically, I would need to like bring my debit card or credit card. Hopefully, I wouldn't have get sent to fraud detection, which is like the thing that happens consistently, no matter how many times I would call the credit card company. Credit card penetration isn't even very high in the Philippines, really. Like, you wouldn't be able to find many places that accept credit card. So you would end up having to go to an ATM machine to get cash, and you'd the ATM machines in the Philippines have very strict limits and high fees. So, and it's just an inconvenience overall to like go find one and go withdraw cash and be subject to those strict limits. Whereas if I'm coming from anywhere in the world, I can just bring my Lightning wallet and now I can pay at 300 merchants in Boracay and live completely off of Bitcoin. I don't need to care about what currency, getting paper, physical paper notes, like, it's much more convenient, much lower fees, right?
Mm-hmm. And you just said 300 merchants. How many merchants are there in total? Do you know some numbers? Or
Yeah, it's on the map. I don't know the exact number today. BTC map we are using to like track all our merchants there. So it's somewhere around 300 now.
Yeah, but I mean 300 accepting Bitcoin, but how many
total on the island? And Boracay,
as a percentage.
We're estimating, we've estimated maybe 2,000 businesses on the island.
Okay.
So over 10%, It's definitely enough to live completely off of Bitcoin.
Indeed. Yeah.
That's important.
That's great, And regarding your vision about the positive side effects for the Lightning Network that can have for a local community, side effects more groundbreaking than the technology to make sending money possible? So is it more important than the technology? So the side effects that it can have on the lives of the merchants and people that are living there?
Yeah. So I think the whole reason for the technology is to help people, right? And so that would be like the positive side effect. Like, technology alone is pointless if it's not able to help people. So absolutely, the utility, number one thing, since remittances are 10% of the Philippines GDP,
mm-hmm.
and tourism is maybe another 5%. These alone, like the cost savings, like the efficiency of using the Lightning Network instead of international banking systems, saves massive fees and could return 1-2% of the entire Philippine GDP back to the country, which is really massive.
Yeah. And especially when you're talking that big numbers, of course. So yeah, can imagine it. Yeah. Hey, what are the key benefits of Pouch over other Lightning wallets for people in the Philippines?
So there are no other Lightning wallets in the Philippines, at least with Philippine rails, like local mm-hmm. rails to the economy. That's the main benefit, is actually being able to take Philippine pesos and deposit to Pouch, use it for cross-border payments, digital payments in Boracay or whatever, or send it out to your own self-custody Lightning wallet and take custody of your own Bitcoin for the best possible price, because we have the most direct kind of way to cash in pesos and get Bitcoin and to cash out and receive remittances as well. So your other options for Lightning wallets in the Philippines are just kind of these global Lightning wallets, which are great, mm-hmm. which are great as well, but you need that link to...
You don't have an on-ramp. With the peso. Yeah.
Exactly.
And Pouch is a PHP Lightning wallet. So it can be used in your mobile phone, but also from within the website, right?
Yeah. So we are working mostly on the app, like prioritizing the native app. But we do have a web app, which is kind of, we have a warning at the top that this is like pretty rough and not super well maintained, but you can sign in on the web and use some of the features that are available, like a handful of the features that are available on the app. You can do some things on the web too.
And how does the onboarding work with the app? Is it just installing it and then you can use it?
So you have to install it and sign up, create an account, either email or phone number, contact info. And we need to collect a KYC document. This is required by law for us to have these Philippine peso rails, right? Which sucks. I'm not a fan of KYC, but it's a legal requirement. So that's the process to sign up. And we're really quick at approving KYC. We have two folks on our team doing customer service full time, like between the two of them, 24/7 coverage of reviewing these KYC app and signups and granting access. So you can get access really quickly compared to, so there's other like more traditional e-wallets in the Philippines, which could take several days for your account to be granted access.
Yeah.
So we're trying to keep that experience, like getting onboarded as quick as possible. Yeah.
So if you have it, then there's no problem. And can you send sats from another wallet, a global wallet, to the pouch wallet?
Yep.
Without extra KYC or something?
So you just need that initial KYC to basically open the account and use the account, which is just a photo ID. You can use like several Philippine IDs, or if you're a foreigner, we can actually legally compliantly onboard you with a passport and open a Philippine peso account for you. So that's pretty awesome.
So if Steph and I were able to open a restaurant there with pancakes, then we can use the app to receive sats, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And now in Borgates, so it's possible to pay with Bitcoin at over 300 businesses. But how did you manage to orange pill all these merchants? That's a hell of a job, man.
Yeah,
it is. And for that, I defer to Bill. Bill is the guy who moved to Boracay. He was trying to start a Bitcoin Beach-like community and kind of a surf town village using Wallet of Satoshi before Pouch existed with the Philippine peso rails. So I met him just through the Bitcoin subreddit, actually. And then we got to talking. I showed him we have like Philippine peso rails. And I suggested, like, well, why don't you go really big and go to like the giant tourist destination and just try to orange pill everyone. And he has a technical sales background. So he's got the
nice
exact experience that one would need to like convince business owners to try out this thing.
Yeah.
300.
Yeah. In the amazing past 6 months, because we just started 6 months ago.
Amazing.
That's
we launched the banking rails. Yeah. He moved. All around 6 months ago. So,
and the only thing they need is their mobile phone, right?
Yep.
Nothing else.
Yeah.
That's it.
We give them a QR code, like print out, like Bill, like we'll laminate it there, upload, put it up, and Bitcoin accepted here signage.
Awesome.
Like from the phone, you can do like use it in kind of a point of sale mode and generate your invoice and pay from any Lightning wallet.
Perfect. Awesome. And with Pouch, you want to make it easier, faster, cheaper for people to send also remittances. Can you describe the everyday life for most people and the economy in the Philippines?
Yeah. So
compared to the rest of the world, of course.
Yeah. So as it relates to remittances, having someone, a relative, work overseas is extremely common. They basically become kind of the breadwinner of the family. So you have like a lot of Filipino nurses, especially go abroad or all kinds of different industries, seafaring as well, like will go abroad and send money back to the family. So it's extremely common, like in any given family in the Philippines, like somebody in the family is kind of the provider, like earning and sending money back home.
And Pouch is still in closed beta. What are you working on right now?
Yeah. So we're in closed beta. in the sense that, well, we kind of have to be regulatory wise. We're still working on licensing and government entities, legal firms, like everything is just very slow, like very human kind of aspect to it. It's not like I can just like go hack together and in the evening a legal framework. It takes time talking to people, right? So very different than writing code. So this is one thing I've learned, actually, to be like patient. And
do you do everything yourself, or do you have help with that side of it?
Yeah, we have like a legal firm, like a very reputable legal firm who's helping. And I think like they're the best in the Philippines, basically, for fintech companies. So that's why they're also swamped. But that's why we are calling our app in closed beta right now. I mean, we do gatekeep. We do make sure we know every single user very well who's being onboarded right now, and we're granting access. So we are closed beta in that sense. And when we do officially release in open beta or fully release, this is when we have a legal requirement to apply for licensing within 30 days for an operator of payment systems license. We're working now on the biggest feature is actually operating a bank account or using a white label bank service, NetBank, in the Philippines to give every one of our users an actual bank account. So we act as a payment processor, converting your Lightning payment, either incoming or outgoing Lightning payments, from pesos to Bitcoin, and being that money transmitter or payment processor. But your funds are actually custodied by NetBank, and you actually get a bank account number. So we're giving, actually just in the next few days, we should be good to roll out this feature, like giving every user a bank account. Happens to be a bank account with Bitcoin and Lightning Rails, which is sweet.
And
do you also have a lot of unbanked people still in Philippines, or is this one way for them to have an official bank account?
Yeah, so this is a great way because it's digital. Like traditionally, you'd have to like show up in person at a bank to open a bank account, right? So and there are some services where now in the Philippines where you can open an account online, like Union Bank, and then other e-wallets like GCash, you can get financial services just online only. You still have to have an ID. So this is a big blocker for a lot of folks, is maybe you had an ID at one point in time, but it expired. It's kind of a pain to get a new one. So this is where like banking the unbanked, I think like the biggest blocker is really like, how do we bank people without photo IDs? Well, the good news is Wallet of Satoshi or any other Lightning wallet doesn't require IDs. And the more merchants we can onboard that accept Lightning, you actually have access to make digital payments, even without an ID yourself. So this is a hurdle. Like we're looking into like launching a separate wallet that's just more like Wallet of Satoshi, where you don't need to sign up. It's just like a very simple, no sign up required, no KYC required Lightning wallet. It would be like Wallet of Satoshi. So for now, we're just having folks use Wallet of Satoshi if they don't have an ID, and they still get like financial access.
And what is your vision of the future of Pouch? Are you going to focus, for example, also more on the Bitcoin education side of it, or for the local inhabitants maybe, or something else that you're working on?
Yeah, so our priority now is getting the Rails as streamlined as possible. We've recently built a Remit API, which is for other e-wallets around the world, especially from like remittance sending countries, to build a more streamlined integration. Because our biggest problem right now is teaching people to send a remittance with Lightning. Like the experience of like download a wallet here, link your bank account, whatever, in both sides and copy and paste a QR code between apps is a horrible experience to teach. So we've built this API recently, and we're working with a couple of the bigger Lightning wallets in like the US and Europe common sending destinations to basically build this super streamlined remittance experience where, like, on the sender's app, the Lightning wallet, you type in the phone number, for example, of who you want to send to. If it's a Philippines mm-hmm. phone number, then the app will use our API to populate the bank list, and you just pass in the recipient info, tap send, and the wallet on the sender side will basically handle making a Lightning payment to us, and we handle the Philippine side. So it's like you don't even have to know yeah. as a remittance sender that Lightning was involved. You're just typing in the info and it's receiving. Kind of feels like a traditional remittance.
That's super important.
I think this experience is actually easier than Western Union, even like easier for the sender. Yeah. And that is ideal. Like, make it easier to use usability wise and more affordable. And then Lightning is one.
Yeah, we'll be able to onboard. But if we're talking about things getting adopted, then it has to be better than the services that are already used, right? Because otherwise exactly. there's no incentive to use the new technology. So I think, yeah, you guys are doing a great job at it.
Thanks.
And if we talk about your, if we look at the Lightning Network from your software engineering background, what kind of Lightning app would you like to build next to Pouch in the future, maybe?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't have a good answer for it because I'm just so focused on the fiat rails.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm not so much of a Lightning developer as a kind of product person, hacker.
it will come, I think.
In the future, you find something that is missing, and then again, and then perhaps you're building something. And if you compare the fiat payment services and Lightning, what are, in your opinion, the main differences with Lightning Network and the fiat world?
Just the freedom, I would say, of the Lightning. Having... Yeah, there we go. It's time.
you can take your time. Yeah. The freedom. That's a nice ending. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, the fees, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
No, and... I think to come back on one of the first things you said is that it is possible to just from one day or the other to not be able to use fiat. And that's a real problem. Yeah. So to keep it going gives you more freedom and you can use Lightning always. So that's great. Yeah, we had a lot of more Lightning questions, but next time, if you're up to it, then we would love to have you back.
Absolutely.
We have one question left for you, Ethan. It is a question from Christian Decker, and he's a core tech engineer at Blockstream. So we ask him to come up with a question for you. Edward will play the audio file, and then you may answer it.
Here it comes.
You've most likely already talked about the opportunities that Bitcoin adoption brings to the Philippines. But what are the unique challenges the Philippines poses to Bitcoin adoption?
Great. Yeah, I would say the number one thing is the access to the internet, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very common in the Philippines to load your mobile data for one day, basically, when you need
it. Okay.
So you're not really often subscribing to a monthly prepaid phone plan and just always having data available to you. Mm-hmm. It's like when you really need it, you'll subscribe for a very limited, short term allotment of data. So since it's not always available to you, this really makes it difficult to it's a hurdle to be used as a payment system. Yeah. Right. If some days you don't have data. And some days you
And in Bocaya, for instance, are there a lot of public Wi-Fi networks then that you can use? Or
there are, but it's not every, maybe you go somewhere, it's a private Wi-Fi, you don't have the public Wi-Fi. So if you go, depends on the establishment you go to, right? So not reliable enough to where I would call it a pretty, pretty big hurdle.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it is definitely a hurdle that needs to be solved.
Yeah, needs to be solved. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think a lot more countries have that that problem. So
yeah.
Next time we have a new guest. His name is Adam Bilidjan. He's the co-founder and CTO of Relay.app, an intuitive Bitcoin-only app for selling and buying Bitcoin. We also want to ask him a question from you. Do you have a question for him?
Yeah. Hey, Adam. I'm curious, what's the biggest skill that you've been forced to learn or just get better at since becoming the founder of a Bitcoin company?
So you can maybe learn from that experience,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, since founders aren't inherently good at everything, we're terrible, at quite a few things and have to figure it out. Hopefully, or maybe it's just me, but maybe other founders are perfect, but I think that's not true. I think
you're right. Curve. Yeah, and you need to outsource some things. So
exactly.
Interesting how he's coping with it.
It's a very clever question, Ethan.
It is.
Hopefully, the answer will be for your help. I mean, that will be nice, right?
Yeah, I'm curious.
I see here he's not a founder, but he's the CTO, so technical director. Well,
CTO,
he can of course answer.
Still, a role that needs to. Learn, have a big learning curve on several areas, right?
That's for sure. That's for sure.
And Julian is the CEO, so perhaps he also can think about the question Adam is going to be asked. So great, thanks.
Thanks thanks for being at the show.
Indeed, thanks.
And I think, I don't know, man, every time, because we also have a lot of guests that are really technical, and I really love guests who are combining the techniques with something social or community like you do. I really and I think like the Philippines, for instance, these are the places that that really need this technology the most. And I think in the more Western, the more developed, I will say, more Western countries will learn a lot from you in the near future when you guys build the best payment system of the world or the best payment apps of the world.
Those important things happen at those places. You're absolutely
that's for
right.
Sure. So thanks for being at the show, Ethan. Where can people follow you? Do you maybe have a Twitter where people can follow you? Or
Bitcoin Island PH is our Twitter account. That's the best place to follow. And come visit Rakai as well. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. Well,
it's a resort, Steph.
It's also a personal invitation, Edward. So, we need to save some money for the tickets then, right?
We'll put out some info. We'll try to put together like a retreat, like an industry retreat or enthusiast retreat, something like that. So we can also meet.
That will be great.
And you can live there with only sets. So
yep,
that's,
and you don't
great.
Need
lightning only.
Fiat. Yep.
Awesome.
Perfect. Well, thanks again.
Yeah, thanks again. And thanks for listening. And thanks to all members participating in the Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire. And of course, thanks to everyone helping to connect the world with us together. If you like our content, then please support us in our mission. Visit our website, connecttheworld.live, where you can also donate and subscribe, like, and share our content on your favorite platform. We need you to complete our mission, connect the world. So keep those nodes running, sats flowing, and rings burning. And see you all next week with Adam Bilijan on the same Lightning channel. Namaste, Ethan.
Sampai jumpa.
Ingat ka.